Education is a progressive discovery of our own ignorance. Will Durant. Time now for Sunday School with Michael Enright, watering the learning tree. And boy, does he need it.
And boy, do I need it. Sunday School, yes, is now in session. Now, this week I overheard a colleague use the phrase materials science, plural, materials science. I had no idea what that was and still don't. I assumed it had something to do with home economics, but it turns out there is a science called material science, and we have contacted a absolutely genuine, for real, material scientist to set me straight on that. Marianne White is a professor of chemistry and physics at Dalhousie University in Halifax. She has written more than 150 research papers, plus the textbook Physical Properties of Materials. And this morning she's in our studio in Halifax. Good morning.
Good morning, Michael.
Good to have you with us on the program. What is materials science?
Well,
and don't say it's the science of materials, but it's something like that, is it?
Yeah, something like that. Let's think of science in general. Science is trying to understand how our world works and how to manipulate our world.
Right.
And we think of the traditional subjects that you're introduced to in school, you know, chemistry, physics, biology, and so on. But those are kind of artificial constructs. That those are just a convenience of the learning system, a convenience of universities too.
Uh-huh.
But really understanding things takes more than one traditional approach. Really understanding stuff. And that's what materials science is all about.
Understanding stuff.
Yes, by stuff, I mean everything the world is made out of, or we could wish to make for ourselves.
Where does it come from? Is there a mother of material science or a father?
In a way, there's a mother of material science, and it would be the Materials Research Society in the United States. But that's also kind of an artificial construct. It brings together people who are interested in studying materials, looking mm-hmm. at the research side of materials. And they are from all the traditional science disciplines, chemistry, physics, biology, and engineering, too, is extremely important.
Is it the study of of atoms and molecules and things, or is it not quite as complex as that?
No, it can be as complex as that. It can go all the way from looking at atoms and how you can arrange them, all the way to big materials, materials that we make bridges and buildings out of. Traditionally, we would actually define it, if you like a defining statement, as the study between and among the structure, the properties, the processing, and the performance of materials.
That just about covers everything, doesn't it?
Yeah, pretty much does.
So, for example, let's take the bridge thing. You would study its design, the material that it's built from, and its job, its what it's there for.
Yes, I'd say at the chemistry and physics end of things, we would be worried about how the atoms are arranged and how those give particular properties associated with those. And then on the more engineering side of things, we might be worried about how those materials are processed and how ultimately they perform in the function of the bridge.
So the down-to-earth functionality of it is so that the bridge wouldn't fall down, I take it.
Yes, and maybe to provide new materials that have better sustainability or something, or better economic aspects, and to develop new materials that could be used for different functions.
So, and you would study what, the impact on the environment as well? Would that be part of it?
Yes, that would be part of it. Looking at the whole life cycle of materials is part of materials science these days. So it's a very broad topic.
I'm just not sure. I'm not sure I'm there yet. A book. It's made out of paper.
Yes.
Then where do I go from that?
Okay. So there are materials researchers who would specialize in paper. They might specialize in how we can make new types of paper that have special coatings, that have special reflectivity. Or maybe we're talking about electronic paper these days. That's an area of materials research as well. Trying to make things that are electronic devices that you could read from, that are not highly reflective, that can be seen well in daylight, that have low energy consumption. All of that would fall in the realm of materials science.
There was an obituary in the New York Times this week, a woman named Dr. Ruth Benarito. Have you heard of her?
Yes, I have.
She's credited with inventing permanent press cotton.
Yes, and there's a real example, literally, of materials science.
Well, tell me about that.
Well, cotton wrinkles, and that's a problem with cotton. And the way that the reason why it wrinkles has to do with the composition of the cotton. It's made of materials, ultimately, that have very weak bonds in them, and we can disturb those bonds very easily with water, for example. And then when the material dries out after it's been wet, it can stay in the state that it was in, for example, wrinkled.
Uh-huh.
And when we iron it, let me just go on to say that, when we iron something, we're using heat to make those bonds set in a particular way that the cotton in that case would be very flat. But she found a way to make linkages between those polymers in the cotton that were firmer linkages than the weak hydrogen bonds. And in doing so, she was able to find a way to keep the flat surface on that, and it's called cross-linking.
And keep
the crispness.
And keep the crispness, yeah.
Yes, yes.
That's
fascinating.
Now, she trained as a chemist.
Yes, she did.
But she would be a definition of a material scientist, would she?
Yes, literally she was working on fabric and materials. But of course, the definition of material science is not limited to just fabric.
See, a lot of complaint about science is that it's pretty airy-fairy and doesn't really often have practical application. But this is all about practicality, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It can be about really looking at just how a collection of atoms works and how that collection behaves. And that could be considered to be materials science, too. But it can go all the way through to the direct applications.
Is it true that everything, all stuff, is made from fewer than 100 types of different types of atoms?
Yes, that's all we have, is the 100 or so types of atoms of the periodic table. And actually, most stuff is made from a handful of about 20 types of atoms.
Do you know how I knew that fact?
I wonder, Michael.
I read it off the script.
Very good.
So everything is made from only 100 different kinds of atoms.
Yes, but there's so many ways to arrange them.
Yeah. And is it your job to find the different ways of arranging?
I would say that people who are a bit more interested in synthetic chemistry than I am,
yeah,
do that sort of thing, making new arrangements. I'm more interested in the properties. When they're arranged in a certain way, how do they behave?
Tell me about the concept of cradle to cradle. I thought that was a misprint. It should be cradle to grave, but it's cradle to cradle.
No, that's not a misprint. The concept of cradle to cradle is that when you make a material, you use it in the particular application, and then you take that material as the starting point for some new material. So, for example,
I'm sorry, run that by me again. When you make something,
and you use it for its application.
Right.
And then when you're done with it, you use that as the starting point for something new.
The new application.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So
all right.
Here's an example. You use a plastic shopping bag to bring home your groceries, and you decide not to reuse this. You put it out for recycling. And then somebody takes that, and they could crush it up and mix it with sawdust and turn it into those composite materials that decks are made out of, decks that don't require any staining.
Oh, so you take, for example, pop bottles.
Yes.
You can make sidewalks out of them.
That's right.
And clothes and things.
Yes, that's right. Re-extruding those because they have a lot of embodied energy in them. And that's a very big area of materials today, is how to make use of the energy we've already put into a material to then use it for something else when it's finished its life cycle.
Does that then mean, metaphysically, there's no such thing as waste? There's no such thing as something not being used for anything ever again?
Well, people talk about industrial ecosystems where mm-hmm. something that is done at one stage is not thrown out, because there is no out, and it's taken on to be something else. The starting point for something else.
So it's a cycle.
Yes, a cycle.
That's fascinating. When you teach your students about all this, what do you want them to know when they finish the course? What is there a core idea, central idea you have?
Well, I teach a course that's a third-year undergraduate course in properties of materials. And I like the students. They won't all become scientists. They'll go off and do lots of different things.
Yes.
But even if they don't become a scientist, I like them to be able to read the business pages of a newspaper and see some new device, and then say to themselves, oh, that must work in the following way. It must have a semiconductor, for example, at the heart of it, because they know the principles of how different materials have the different properties that they have.
There should be a category, and I think maybe you're creating it, called the science of stuff.
That's what materials science is all about, and it goes way back. If we talk about the Stone Age, how we lived more than 5,000 years ago, with our main implements being stone,
uh-huh.
that was an example of materials, because how that stone flaked and flinted to make a spear gave you an advantage over your neighbor.
That is absolutely enthralling. Thank you very much, Professor, for telling me about that. I'll be a hit at cocktail parties when I can talk about the science of stuff.
Very good.
Thank you. Take care now.
Thanks.
Marianne White is a professor of chemistry and physics at Dalhousie University in Halifax. Her book, her textbook is called Physical Properties of Materials. This morning she was in our studio in Halifax. You're listening.